over the past few days, we've been talking about the protests that erupted in at least eight major Chinese cities over the weekend, several school campuses as well. The fuse that lit those protests was ostensibly a fire in a high-rise building in the city of Urumqi, which is in Xinjiang in the far west of the country. 10 people were killed. Accusations grew that lockdowns had played a role in that fire. Of course, China is still under a zero COVID policy. The enforcement is tough. The rules are strict. People have been kept in their living quarters for months at a time, over different times, with very limited ability to get out. There's lots of testing. It is a very, very strict system to try to prevent the spread of COVID. Obviously, China doesn't have a particularly effective vaccine. A lot of seniors haven't been vaccinated either. But there is a growing frustration clearly within the country at some of these measures. It's impacting the economy. It's impacting people's ability to make a living. Of course, factory workers that can't go to work don't get paid. They've been upset. And those demonstrations, as we've seen them, have also started to expand to some other demands, defiance against President Xi Jinping, something he has not seen since he came to power in 2012. He just gave himself an unprecedented third term not too long ago. Of late, China's security apparatus, which is vast and usually pretty efficient, didn't act as quickly as it usually does over the last weekend, but it's started to crack down, at least prevent those protests from continuing, blocking off areas where protests have been taking place over the weekend. And there has been a bit of a relaxing of some of those COVID rules, too, in the cities of Guangzhou, which is a huge city in the south of the country, not too far from Hong Kong, and in Chongqing, which is another massive city in the west in Sichuan, or around Sichuan. Both eased their COVID curbs on Wednesday, a day after there were demonstrations in Guangzhou as well and clashes with police. The Prime Minister, Trudeau, was asked about the protests yesterday.
Canadians are watching very closely. Obviously, everyone in China should be allowed to express themselves, should be allowed to share their perspectives and indeed protest. We're going to continue to ensure that China knows we'll stand up for human rights, we'll stand with people who are expressing themselves.
Well, to find out what's going on the ground, it's my pleasure to welcome back Carl Breaux, who's spoken to us before. He's the CEO of the Saemin Group of Companies. He's also a Canadian living in Shanghai. Welcome back. Thanks for your time tonight.
Good evening.
So tell me, what has it been like? Because it seemed like it sort of simmered for a long time, and then suddenly there was this flashpoint of anger. And of course, you know, you see the odd, I mean, I lived in China, you see the odd, odd anger, the odd protest, but nothing like this.
Well, strangely enough, you know, from the perspective here, as I was in listening to your introductions, a large part of this we're actually blacked out of, you know, some things I probably wouldn't know if I was not, you know, listening to foreign news or speaking to foreign friends. I do have another part of the story, I think, which is probably relevant and interesting. But the whole part where there's, you know, demonstrations in universities and things like this, actually, if I was not following foreign news or speaking to foreign friends, actually, I'm totally blacked out from that part of the story.
Right, which is always the case, of course, yeah.
Yeah, for this, but there's a part of the story where actually there's other elements, I think, which might be relevant and interesting. For mm-hmm. one thing, for sure, we're in a pretty big wave of COVID in China, and we do see we certainly do see a lot of frustration in social media. Is a fact also that as of today, well, as of yesterday or the day before, I actually just sort of candidly asked the HR to tell me, so what's the situation now? How many areas in China are, you know, in cities are in either total or partial lockdown? And we stopped counting around 200, you know, so it's major, major, the amount of people who are, you know, in confinement or, you know, so that is there. And there is frustration in social media. The event that happened with the fire, which was a fire in a building which was under confinement, that also came out in the news here. So that's not, we were not blacked out of that story, if you want. So, and there was, of course, you know, in social media, some frustration around that we saw as well. But so, and the other thing also, which you mentioned in your introduction, which we also see, this has been out for 2 or 3 days. It's true that there is a lot of new policies coming out now, which is of interest. I think one of the things that bring a lot of frustration around the management of COVID, I think most people will willingly take tests and things like this. What is frustrating is sometimes it feels a little bit arbitrary. Like you go in one city and you apply it in this way, and you go in another city and it's applied a little bit differently. And then, so you have regulations that came out 2 or 3 days ago where they want to avoid those situations by saying the only offices that have the authority to be able to impose confinement, even if it's in a single building, it has to be at least from the county level up to the provincial, of course, federal, but nothing below that. So actually that sort of goes in the sense of trying to make it sort of more predictable and less based on region or local sort of zealous officials that want to sort of go on the air on the safe side, so to speak, from right. their perspective and put things very, very strict but it's of course frustrating if you are being confined for reasons that you don't really see from the don't really understand.
One of my enduring memories, of course, in China is that you do not ask why. If there's a rule being imposed, do not ask why. There will not always be a satisfactory answer. How much of an impact? I mean, I think a lot of people have been watching this and people certainly understand the frustration. But for Canadians to understand, I mean, the level of enforcement, the level of restrictions are, I mean, I was saying the other day, if you think a mask mandate it impedes on your freedoms, you wouldn't last a morning in Shanghai, right? It's, I mean, the restrictions have been severe and they're enforced strictly.
That's true. It becomes almost a doctrine, right? So you choose which doctrine you're part of. Are you of the doctrine of saying you don't tolerate any COVID? Essentially, you want to, COVID zero, as we know it here, or the doctrine that we have more in Canada or in Europe, other countries where it's about, we can live with COVID and we don't need to manage it. Here, of course, it's still the doctrine of saying COVID zero, we protect the population, we protect sort of the hospital, and healthcare system, and it is very strict. I myself, I want to say something which is totally true. I would think that in the last 3 months, I did PCR testing at least once a day. At least once a day. Sometimes it's twice a day.
90 times. Because 90 to 100 times.
Yeah, exactly.
In a month.
So now, Christmas is now, to me, Christmas is now 23 PCR tests away.
it's remarkable. People don't understand. And you need that PCR test to do anything, right? You need it to leave your compound. You need it to go grocery shopping. You need to have that negative PCR test, right?
Yes. The actual if you go by the regulations, so it's 48 hours. So you have to have had a PCR test in the last 48 hours, for example, here in Shanghai, to go into shopping mall, public places like a restaurant or essentially anywhere, including me coming into the office here, our own office. But why I do it every 24 hours is just for the simple fact that, if I did it, for example, if I did my tests yesterday at 11 a.m. and I'm now the second day at 2 p.m. Or the third day at 2 p.m. or 11:30, then I'm already beyond 48 hours, right? So in fact, if you want to think always to stay within 48 hours, in fact, actually, you pretty much have to do it every day to be able to for your code to stay essentially valid to be able to access public areas in China. But so that being said, that one thing I would like to also add, which you also mentioned a little bit there, it's actually going in the way of easing in general. I would say because now we're in a wave, right? So we're in a wave of COVID. Canada have been exposed to that. We know when wave comes, it's sort of very almost exponential at the beginning. Day one, there's so many cases, day two goes up, and then, so we're in the middle of a wave. But actually, in terms of how they enforce the regulation, it's actually more, I would say, more reasonable or more surgical, I guess you could say. I'm not sure if I can use that term, but still. Used to be, if you had a few cases in one district, they would shut down the whole district, almost the city. But now, if you have cases in a district, they will go much more local, which is good, right? So essentially, if you're in a building where there's cases there, then your building essentially will get locked down. I mean, so it's a little, so it goes in the way of easing. Coming back into China, for example, when I came back already two times this year, I came back in January where I was confined for 21 days after landing. And then I just came back from England about a month and a half ago where I was confined for 10 days. Now it's already down to 8 days. So
slowly but surely, right?
So we sort of feel the feeling we have actually is, okay, we're in the middle of the wave, so that creates a lot of lockdowns. But actual in fact, if you look at the actual regulation, I think it slowly but surely goes in the direction of easing, but at the same time always being enforced very, very strictly. You know, here if there's a rule, you have to, like you mentioned, you know, you follow the rule.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess that's where we'll see where the frustration goes. I mean, obviously, Shanghai is a massive place and you're not seeing protests on every street corner, clearly. Carl Breau, as always, thank you so much for the update.
My pleasure.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.